Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're covering news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa offers a deal for catalytic development to create a high-end restaurant row. A plan to capture mid-class, high-quality restaurants at an East Mesa commercial project could return more than $6 million to the developers' pockets. The City Council is considering a tax incentive agreement with the developer of the 40-acre portion of the project along Signal Butte Road and Southern Avenue. Medina Station has secured two anchor tenants, including Target and Dick's Sporting Goods, along with other fast-service eateries. The commercial portion of the project is being constructed by the Scottsdale-based developer Simon CRE. It's a project that is poised to bring a $150 million investment to the area that delivers on a demand from residents in the area who have voiced a desire for higher-end restaurants. The City Council will vote on the agreement at the July 1st meeting. The deal would need to pass with a two-thirds majority. Josh Simon, with Simon CRE, told the Council at the June 12 meeting that the tax incentive plan would help attract these high-end sit-down restaurants by offering lower rents to tenants. Simon said he has closed on a lease agreement with OHSO Brewery by offering a better, more attractive deal term. The focus of the plan is for Simon CRE to fulfill the project's self-proclaimed restaurant row. Simon told the council this project would help set the bar and lift East Mesa because he was very confident in the restaurant's ability to perform really well out here. The incentive plan could return up to $6.3 million to Simon CRE for construction on public infrastructure such as sidewalks, streetlights, traffic signals, and water and sewer lines. The city is offering to reimburse 100% of the 1.2% construction tax it receives for the project's construction. To qualify for the reimbursement, Simon CRE would also need to complete construction on the Dick's Sporting Goods store, as well as complete all five restaurant row establishments. The type of restaurants opened at Medina Station would need to meet certain requirements. According to city documents, it would need to be a mid-class, high-quality, or contemporary casual full-service restaurant to qualify. Additionally, the restaurant would need to have fewer than 100 locations nationally and be the first of a kind operating in Mesa within a 10-mile radius of Medina Station. The only exception would be the OSHO Brewery, which has a location at the Mesa Gateway Airport. Those restrictions would exclude typical chain restaurants, putting an emphasis on restaurants not already located in East Mesa. The agreement states the restaurant row would need to be open to the public within 48 months of when the council approves the tax incentive plan. Additionally, the city is offering a 50% refund on non-dedicated sales taxes received for any eateries at the restaurant row and the retail anchors. That incentive would stay in place for 10 years, beginning when the sporting goods store opens. The city has capped reimbursement to a maximum of $6,360,696. After the developer reaches that number, the city will stop reimbursing any construction or sales taxes. According to an economic impact report by Applied Economics, it found the city's tax revenues by 2037 at full build-out of Medina Station would be $29.9 million. Simon CRE began construction on the 40-acre property in March, with plans to start opening stores in July 2026. Economic Development Director Jay O'Donnell told the council she sees this project as a catalytic development that checks the boxes of the retail strategy the city has pursued to put in place. We think it's going to be a destination not just for Mesa residents who've been clamoring for this type of development and these types of brands, but also for the entire region, she says. That story, Mesa offers deal for catalytic development to create a high-end restaurant row. The next story, 336-unit rental community okayed in Apache Junction. A 336-unit, three-story residential rental complex on 18 acres west of the northwest corner of Idaho Road and Apache Trail and Apache Junction that has drawn criticism from neighbors around the proposal and a rejection from the Planning Commission was recently approved. The Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing April 8 and overwhelmingly voted to not approve a conditional use permit for the development requested by Wolf Enterprises 3, LLC. An appeal of the denial was submitted April 24 by Paul Gilbert of Gilbert Bliley PLLC on behalf of Wolf Enterprises 3, LLC. The conditional use permit appeal was approved by the Apache Junction City Council in a unanimous vote June 17 with the condition that the apartment manager participate in the city's crime-free multi-housing program. The development is needed to bring customers to the city's businesses and provide housing for young families, several council members said. I realize our businesses are in dire need of support, so I vote yes, Councilmember Daryl Cross said in voting. Our local businesses need our help. They need people, permanent residents, and so I am voting yes, Councilmember Brian Soller said. This project would provide more year-round residents, which we need, and presumably younger families, which would help provide more students in our school system. So for those reasons, I vote yes, Councilmember Peter Heck said. Too many young people have to move outside of the city because of the high cost of housing here, Councilmember Bambi Johnson said. They can't live here, they have to live in Mesa. We don't want to bring up our kids, have them go through school, and send them away. We want to keep them here, she said, in voting yes. A motion was made prior to the vote that would have added a second condition, asking the developer to move the two westernmost buildings from a north-south orientation to an east-west orientation to create a view corridor, but it was withdrawn after the developer's representative said it could not be done. That proposal will render this project in such a position that we will not be able to go forward with that change. There are problems with drainage. There are problems with parking, Paul Gilbert said. We cannot accept that proposal. 14 three-story buildings are planned. Amenities include a clubhouse, pool, dog park, open space, grills, and covered parking. All lighting is to be dark skies compliant. The main access is off Apache Trail, and a secondary access for residents only is off of Plaza Drive, Principal Planner Kelsey Shatnick told the Planning Commission in April. Primary concerns from individuals who called the city about the project include planned off-site parking along Plaza, blocked views of the Superstition Mountains because of the planned building heights, and increased traffic along Plaza, Shatnick said. Historical aerials show the property may have been used as a golf course in the 1970s and 1980s, but has not been used since that time, according to a written project narrative from Wolf Enterprises 3 LLC. It will be a market-rate, non-age-restricted product. The development is anticipated to generate 2,265 weekday daily trips entering and exiting its dates. One-bedroom units are to cost $1,300 a month, and two-bedroom units are to cost $1,800 a month, Gilbert, representing Wolf Company, told the commission. Approximately 30 people spoke at the June 17 public hearing in favor or against the appeal. Bruce Evans, who lives in a nearby RV park, said the housing development will block his view of the Superstition Mountains. Superstitions have always been and always will be my favorite mountain. They're going to block it off, but at the same time they're advertising to the people they are going to sell to, oh, you'll have the perfect sight so you can see the Superstition Mountains while they are blocking us. So I'm all against this, he said. Apache Junction resident Linda Huss, who owns a business near Flatiron Park, said she is in favor of the development. My business will have a view of this new development, she said. I want to see the homeless people go away. I also would love to have the events that the city has at Flatiron Park be better attended when we have our free concerts, when we have our free movie night. I think that having local residents in this incredibly beautiful facility is going to really improve the center of our downtown area. Building a new apartment complex is a positive step for the city, Apache Junction resident Kayla Lemieux said. Many working families, seniors, and young adults are struggling to find a slightly lower than market rate quality place to live. A new apartment complex helps address this challenge. It provides flexible housing options for residents who don't need the full space of a single-family home has to offer or simply cannot afford a single-family home, she said. That story was 336-unit rental community okayed in Apache Junction. The next story, late night Lux Chinese street food restaurant debuts in Mesa. Everything to try. Chubby Skewers in Mesa is modeled on the neon-lit alleyways in China, where street vendors searching for space in crowded cities set up stalls. The tables are simple metal and the chairs resemble folding chairs, albeit with a shiny chrome finish and red padding. Diners eat premium Wagyu off paper plates. Neon yellow and red signs glow on the walls, spelling out earnest slogans in English and Chinese. The flame is where the magic happens. Grill and chill. The late-night barbecue restaurant serves northeastern Chinese-style meat and vegetable skewers that customers grill themselves. Chubby Skewers opened May 19, much to the excitement of fans of regional Chinese cuisine who regularly queue outside the doors before they even open. The Mesa location is the first in the state for the chain, and the third in the country, following restaurants in Roland Heights, California, and New York City. Two seasoned Mesa restaurateurs partnered to bring Chubby Skewers to Arizona, Noel Chang, the owner of Shang-Chi Garden, and Chow Zhang, the owner of Spice Spirit. Zhang said he met representatives from the brand at a marketing conference and liked the concept. The Valley has other Chinese skewer restaurants, but none where you can grill the skewers yourself over charcoal, which lends a distinctive smoky flavor to the meat, and he felt it would make a great addition to the Metro Phoenix dining scene. Skewers are a street food popular across China. They originated in Xinjiang, in an autonomous region in northwest China bordering Mongolia. Xinjiang was historically a trading hub along the Silk Road, meaning that its food has Middle Eastern, Central Asian, and Chinese influences. Skewers specifically are thought to have come from the Uyghur people, who are Chinese Muslims. As nomadic shepherds, they'd roast lamb and season it with cumin, peppers, and garlic. The popularity of meat skewers has spread throughout China, where they are enjoyed as easy, delicious street foods. Different cities and areas have put their own spin on skewers. Chubby Skewers draws inspiration from Dongbei-style barbecue, which is similar to Xinjiang-style, said April Liu, who was waiting in line to visit the restaurant for the first time. Liu was originally from Dongbei and decided to try Chubby Skewers with her husband because they wanted to grill their own skewers, an experience they haven't had in the U.S. yet. Skewer restaurants have proliferated outside of China over the last few years, especially in Southern California, and the concept is starting to trickle into Arizona. There are a few other restaurants in Metro Phoenix that serve skewers, like Dragon Flame Chinese Grill in Tempe, though Chubby Skewers is the first where customers can grill their own. The restaurant has a wall of refrigerators filled with pre-stacked sticks. There are vegetables, cauliflower, lotus root, and tiny purple potatoes. There is seafood, abalone, shrimp, and scallops. And there's the glorious meat, lamb, pork, and all manner of Wagyu beef cuts. But the magic happens once you take the skewers to your table where you season and grill them. Chubby Skewers claims to have a street food price point because each skewer costs $1.20. There's also a $3.99 table fee and a 99-cent per person seasoning fee. The parent company of Chubby Skewers is Chubby Group, which is based in Los Angeles, and owns over 30 restaurants across the U.S. Zhang explained that Chubby Skewers uses parts of the cow that are difficult for other restaurants to use because they are steakhouses and hot pot restaurants that rely on large cuts of meat. This enables them to sell even premium Wagyu beef skewers for $1.20. That said, don't expect a meal at Chubby Skewers to be cheap. Because each skewer is about 2 bites of food at most, many skewers are required to have a full meal. A meal for two, including soft drinks, 2 side dishes, and roughly 20 skewers will cost around $70. The process of making the skewers is simple. On my visit, I selected Wagyu tongue, brisket, and black pepper beef, lamb, and pork belly, along with vegetable skewers. I brought them to my table and set them on the grill. As manager Jun Yu explained to me, it's best to let the meat or vegetable turn golden brown and then flip it once, instead of continually turning. I seasoned the skewers with four different dry seasonings: cumin, sesame seeds, a spicy powder, and a special Dongbei barbecue blend with fennel and a mix of other spices. The meats were juicy and spicy from the cumin, with a delicious crunch from the sesame seeds. The vegetables were tender and had a satisfying charred flavor. Because each skewer is only a single ingredient, part of the pleasure of eating was observing the slight variations in each type of meat or vegetable, like the rich fattiness of the pork belly and the distinct savory, gamey flavor of the lamb. Pro tip, since all the skewers are the same price, the best deal is to select meats for the skewers themselves along with an order of a vegetable dish or two on the side, like Dongbei-style mixed vegetables, $11.99, which is vinegary light and has a pleasing mix of textures from wood ear mushroom, crunchy cucumbers, and tofu. Arizona's food scene is becoming increasingly diverse and dynamic, Liu said. Chubby Skewers epitomizes the rapid expansion of Arizona's Asian food scene, with a spate of national and global food chains opening locations and franchises in the state in recent years. Soon to open, fan favorites include Din Tai Fung, Taiwanese boba chain Gong Cha, and Chinese hot pot restaurant Hai Di Lao. However, in contrast to many of the other chains, Chubby Skewers opened outside of Mesa's Asian district, where Zhang and Cheng's other restaurants are located. Chubby Skewers is located in a strip mall a few miles south. Opening outside the Asian district is a strategic decision to reach a wider audience and establish a distinct identity in the local market, Liu said, adding that the brand's attention was first drawn to Mesa because of its growing population and vibrant multicultural food scene. Details: 1955 West Guadalupe Road, number 105, Mesa, 480-572-0129, chubbyskewers.com. That story was Late Night Lux Chinese Street Food Restaurant Debuts in Mesa, Everything to Try. You're listening to East Valley News, covering Mesa and Apache Junction on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story: City of Apache Junction hosting 4th of July celebration. All festivities for the City of Apache Junction's annual 4th of July celebration take place on Friday, July 4. The event will be at Superstition Shadows Park, 1091 West Southern Avenue, and kicks off with the annual 4th of July volleyball tournament held at Superstition Shadows Aquatic Center. Registration for the free tournament begins at 7:15 a.m. Space is limited to the first 8 teams, up to 10 players per team, that register. The tournament begins at 8 a.m. The Aquatic Center will be open for open swim 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. July 4, with free admission sponsored by Aaron McDermott State Farm. Evening events are at Superstition Shadows Park. Gates open at 6 p.m. for the free event that is open to the public. A small fee for food and game booths may apply. Game booths, hosted by local vendors and nonprofit organizations, and activities for kids will take place starting at 6 p.m. Some of the activities include water games, a bicycle, wagon, and tricycle float contest, with judging at 6:30 p.m., inflatables, free watermelon sponsored by Apache Junction Little League while supplies last, and live entertainment. Zero Reasons will be providing live entertainment on the event stage 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. and will kick off the fireworks extravaganza at 8:30 p.m., weather permitting. Parking is limited, so please come early. There will be traffic restrictions. Plan for delays. The 4th of July festivities are on city and school property, and no consumer fireworks, alcohol, smoking, glass containers, pets, or weapons will be allowed at the event or adjacent parking viewing areas. Bags and coolers brought into the facility will be checked. Food and drinks will be available to purchase on site. If you have a request for accommodation, call the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department at 480-982-8002 prior to the event. Only service animals will be permitted at the facility. Apache Junction Parks and Recreation thanks the event sponsors: Republic Services, Aaron McDermott State Farm, Apache Junction Sewer District, Arizona Water Company, and Mesa Gateway Airport. And the event supporters: Apache Junction Unified School District, Apache Junction Little League, Superstition Fire Medical District, and the Apache Junction Police Department. For information, including maps for parking, go to the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department website at www.apachejunctionaz.gov/700/4th-of-July. That story was City of Apache Junction hosting 4th of July celebration. The next story, landmark Metro Phoenix restaurant is closing after 17 years. Here's what we know. Flancer's Incredible Sandwiches and Pizzeria is closing its Mesa location on June 28. The owners announced their decision to close on social media. After 17 unforgettable years, we are filled with immense gratitude as we say goodbye to our Mesa location, they posted on Facebook. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Thank you for the laughter, the memories, the milestones, and the meals. You've been more than just customers. You've been family. Whether it was your first visit or your 100th, your support, kindness, and loyalty have meant everything to us. Mesa gave us a home, a community, and a purpose. It's been our honor to serve you, grow with you, and be a small part of your lives. While it's incredibly hard to close this chapter, we leave with full hearts and nothing but appreciation for the incredible journey we've had together. Flancer's menu includes appetizers such as green chili mushroom phyllo and goat cheese bruschetta, sandwiches on house-baked bread including French dip, prickly pear marinated chicken, or pastrami, pizzas including buffalo chicken or steak and Alfredo sauce, desserts like half-baked cookies with ice cream, soups, and salads. Jeff Flancer opened the Gilbert location of Flancer's 2000 in 2000 and added the Mesa location in 2008. He owned both locations until 2022 when Shane Lindsay took over. The Mesa restaurant will remain open until June 28. After that, diners can visit the Gilbert location. Details: 1902 North Higley Road, Mesa, 480-396-0077. Also, 610 North Gilbert Road, Gilbert, 480-926-9077, flancers.com. That story was landmark Metro Phoenix restaurant is closing after 17 years. Here's what we know. The next story, the ranch at Salt River planned north of Apache Junction. Converting an existing ranch into a glamping guest ranch for up to 20 tents and one 5,000-square-foot lodge for people wanting to experience the Arizona ranching lifestyle is planned north of Apache Junction. The ranch at Salt River is to be open October through April on approximately 20 acres, generally located south of Apache Trail and Rivas Trailhead Road in unincorporated Maricopa County. A special use permit for the ranch at 26815 East State Route 88 in Tortilla Flat will be discussed by the Maricopa County Planning and Zoning Commission at a meeting at 9:30 a.m. Thursday, July 10 in the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Auditorium, 205 West Jefferson in Phoenix. Instructions on attendance and how to submit questions, comments on case number SU240015 may be found at www.maricopa.gov/797, at least 1 week prior to the hearing date. You may also call 602-506-3301 and ask for the on-call planner. The ranch is operated by Maverick Veitch and Maymay Newsom, and the property owner is HP Property Management and Leasing LLC, according to a project narrative. The glamping resort, surrounded by the Tonto National Forest, is to be within 2.5 miles of Apache Lake at the only private agricultural property in the Superstition Mountain Wilderness, it states. Originating from the Rivas Land Exchange in 1967, the ranch, formerly named the Apache Lake Ranch and Ivy Ranch, has been used as a working cattle ranch, horse ranch, and private home for over 50 years, it states. A special use permit under the existing RU-190 zoning for a guest ranch is requested to allow for the proposed high-end glamping resort to be added to the existing historic cattle ranch. The goal of the project is to bring people back to the old Arizona by sharing the historical importance of rangeland grazing and the benefits of grazing cattle on public land, while allowing guests to experience ranching in the wilderness of Arizona, according to the narrative. The project vision is to add all-inclusive high-end glamping to the existing cattle horse ranch for people who are seeking to escape to the beautiful desert environment outdoors and experience ranch life while still having access to upscale, comfortable amenities and services of everyday modern rural life, it states. The ranch is proposed to consist of 8 to 20 custom canvas-walled safari-style tents. Each has two beds and will be approximately 14 by 19 feet in dimension and approximately 410 square feet in area. The tents may sleep up to 4 people, but it is anticipated that they will typically be reserved for 2 people, according to the narrative. The proposed tents will have cedar platforms that will be elevated 18 inches above the highest adjacent grade. These tents will have private view sheds and bathrooms en suite. These will be equipped with hot, solar, and cold running water, flush toilets, and showers. Potable water will be provided to each tent directly from on-site wells. Each tent will be equipped with a gray water tank for the shower and a black water tank for the toilet. That story was The Ranch at Salt River Planned North of Apache Junction. Remember that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcastinfo and audio/on-demand. You can also take SunSounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.